Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just ask if you're alive, we ask if you're actually present. Because the truth is, a lot of people are physically here, but they are mentally checked out, okay? We're distracted, we are constantly numbing, and that's me pretending to scroll on my phone, running on autopilot. Yeah, you're showing up to work, you're showing up to your relationship, you're showing up to your life, but you're half-assing it. And after a while, you stop feeling connected to anything. And I'm telling you right now, God did not create you to sleepwalk through your life. He created you to be intentional and present and aware. You're a co-creator. So today we're talking about what it actually means to truly show up. I'm very excited for today's guest, and we pretty much just did the show before I hit record. Great conversation. You guys are going to love this. You're going to eat her up alive. Her name is Marcy Axelrod. She's a researcher and author exploring how the way we show up shapes everything around us. Marcy, I'm so excited. Let's just launch from here. Take me to a moment in your life where you realized you're half-assing it. You weren't fully showing up. What happened?
I'm going to take you way before that, way
I love
before
it.
half-assing
Yes.
it. I had the
Yes.
moment. I was six. And I actually tell this story, Brandon, on both TED stages. I have two TED Talks from about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. So I was 6 years old and I lost the ability to speak. And what happened was we had just moved from Baltimore to Boston. My parents had new jobs, new house, new friends, new school, new everything. Mom and dad busy, sister off doing her thing. And little Marcy kind of needed help, attention, care. And I didn't get it. And I'm not wired to kind of act out. So I acted in. This is where the predisposition to stutter for my throat to lock, hit the environment and they colluded. And I started to stutter at age six. And really, the way I showed up to that, I mean, I'll give you just this visceral example. Like, imagine you're in a classroom, you're 6 years old, and the teacher asks a question. And my hand went up. I'm kind of from a family where, you think things through, you participate. So my hand goes up. And right then and there, what happened was that the entire class, if you can feel this, just went, oh. And the teacher felt it. And the message, like my interpretation through this six-year-old body mind thing, was they feel me. They're feeling that I'm going to be challenged. Like at some point, the teacher's going to have to call on me. And what's going to happen is I'm going to try to say something. And what's going to come out is some version of like, and struggle. And I realized we are not separate because not only were they feeling me, but I felt them feeling me. So I felt them, they felt me, and we're in this like that infinity sign, the Möbius strip, where you go around and around and around. And that's when I realized that separate beings are more like this. And what I'm doing for people just listening, I'm bringing my hands together and interweaving my fingers. We are not separate beings. We flow together. We feel each other. My stress is now living in their bodies. Their cortisol went up because of me. Any excited adrenaline and joy, isn't there anymore, and I now am accountable for how I'm showing up to this. So I made a choice. You see, the circle or my book is how we choose to show up. The word choose is what's circled because each moment isn't a decision. It isn't a change point. I'm very clear. It is a choice, and those are different things. So what I decided is I said, I can't stand being someone who pulls others down, makes them sick, creates stress. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to uplift everybody. I'm going to model, how I want them to show up. So my self lens at that point, and I know we just talked about this, my self lens, like most of us are living in this individualized self. It's an ego-driven self. It lives in this goop, the good opinions of others, to kind of grab a phrase from Peter Sage, where we always feel judged. We're in some mess of either proving ourselves, needing to be seen as something, saying, feeling lesser than, feeling better than, which is kind of the defensive mode. I said to myself, no. I don't like how it feels to be me. It's too painful. So I'm going to take my self lens and I'm going to turn it outward. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life observing how others are choosing to show up. Why? Because I can't show up as I choose. So I was wired at age 6 to study how others show up. And like knowing that we're always impacting others at every moment, viscerally living it. So that's what led me to be me. That's why I wrote the book, How We Choose to Show Up. It's my second book. That's why I started to study everything I could get my hands on related to psychology, psychiatry, behavioral economics, you know, some of the stuttering. Right. But anyway, I'll stop there. But that's my show up story.
No, I love that. And my question is, I mean, you're 6 years old and you realize like we do impact each other. How did that not become a toxic relationship of that heaviness of like feeling responsible, right? Because I watch people all the time and they blame others for why they feel the way they feel. So they're not taking their own responsibility. Then, you know, feeling like you're responsible for how other people feel around you. How did that not become a toxic relationship there? Because I see a lot of people stuck there.
Yeah. So stuck in the to me mode,
yeah.
Right? To me in that victim mode, blaming others. Mm-hmm. And then people get out of that by getting on the treadmill and say, I'm going to change the world. And it's by me. I'm going to do everything by me and work harder and stay later. And that's a control focused left hemispheric thing. And so how did I get into the through me? It's I'm just going to be the way that I am. And it's going to impact others. That I think it's an inherent wiring, but it's also a choice. Whenever we're stressed, we fall back from level 3 truly showing up into that by me control focus left hemispheric thing, which is level 2. Like I have a continuum, right? There's level barely there. That's the shit show. That's the anxiety led, depressed. I mean, there are reasons to be there, and you can also be grieving for a short while, be ill, but in general, you don't want to live in the to me level 1, which is barely there. Level
right.
1. People then are in this human doing mode, which you mentioned, sleepwalking through life, pattern-based living. You're doing the same thing all the time, the same thoughts, the same discussion, the same impressions, very few new perspectives come to, very little creativity arises, very little truly grounded moments where you know your kid feels you with them. And hopefully they'll take it into their future forever. Whenever they need help, they'll feel mom is with me.
Yeah.
I'm a little mom, right? So that level 3 truly showing up is a right hemispheric openness that flows with the grandeur of everything. And it knows that they're absorbing me, right? That accountability is there. And it's exciting. Like it doesn't feel like pressure.
Yeah.
Feels the opposite. It like it's an invitation. So at the end of my first TED talk, I took a huge risk. I had no idea if it was never going to, you know, go from TEDx to the full TED.com
stage,
which it did. It was pulled
Congrats.
Up. But I took a real risk because when you speak, you're on the red dot. But I'm not about the TED talk. I was about connecting with 1,000. I had 1,000 live people sitting in front of me. And I'm a stutterer, okay? Like this is not your common thing where you're just, it's stage fright. No, I had to get, you know, I was dealing with genetics and I started a lot for 20 years. So I was so pulled into the connectedness with the audience that I walked up to the front of the stage. I walked right off that red dot. And I didn't know if all the TV things and cameras were just on the red dot and there was no one to move them. I had no idea. And it was the last thing that came to mind because there's 1,000 people right there. And those lives, they were with me.
Yeah.
Like there was a difference in how they were inhabiting that space with me versus the other 7 talks that preceded me. I was the 8th talk that night. They were tired. They were burnt. There's a point where you just need to get up and stretch your legs. And then it was my turn. They were so with me. I walked right to the front of the stage. And here's what I said, because this is how I lived that moment of I'm responsible for how they're feeling up, right?
For sure.
What came out of my mouth was, I'm offering you an invitation tonight to choose how you show up. That's the word. We invite every moment with how we show up. We are inviting those with us, those with them, right? The work of Nicholas Christakis shows we go three levels deep through our friends, friends, friends. Yes. So I am inviting ultimately the world through those thousand people with me to choose how they're showing up. And immediately, since that choice is arising within them, at the same moment that they're feeling me, so there's this connectedness of my energy with theirs, and the choice, conscious and not, is impacted. That invitation is viscerally living in you right now, Brandon.
Yeah.
And hopefully through my tone, through my cadence, through the you know, the sense of me that you're getting, the timbre, all of that. I'm living in everyone listening here, now, and forever. So it's the invitation that we make for each person to choose how they show up. And here's the key. You're also creating the world that shows up for you.
For you.
Right now.
Yeah. I love that so much, and I very much agree with that. A few questions, a few things I want to bring up. So I guess I'll make it a few part question. Do you think that most people have an awareness that they're barely there and they're disconnected, or do you think they are oblivious to that and they need some awareness? Like, how connected are they to that disconnect? And what does, you know, you talk about that truly showing up. What does that look like in real life? I've got a listener that's like, I'm showing up, right? Like, what does truly showing up mean?
Okay. The first question, how aware are people of their choice or of how they're showing up? So your phrase at the beginning of sleepwalking through life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spoke to a lot of, you know, on a lot of the podcasts, that phrase comes up of, you know, wow, you're pointing out that people are sleepwalking through life. So I believe through all the research I've done, which, you know, the formal global study started in 1999. So this has been going a long time. The informal studies started when I was six, you know, observing a bully over there, a scaredy cat over there, a teacher not seeming to care. Most people who reflect this back for me, they say, you know, I've always had in the back of my mind a sense of like, yeah, there's levels of showing up. There's levels of how well did I do? How well am I doing? There's each night when you lay in bed and you're like, what the fuck happened during, like, how did that happen? Right.
Yeah.
Versus laying in bed and thinking this was a day or feeling this was a day well lived. So everybody on some level has a sense of there is a version of right here, right now, and I'm either living it well or I'm not. But once I give them the simple model, there's a continuum. It goes from red to green. Red is barely there, level one, orange, level two, just showing up, which is huge. My research shows 80% of us say we just show up in this disconnected, not present, somewhat triggered, stressed way of being 80% of the time. And then there's level three in green, truly showing up. And I'll send you some slides to post after this. So that's the answer. The actual research shows 80% of people say that they just show up 80% of the time, either knowingly or unknowingly. The second part of the question, what is truly showing up? Truly showing up is an interconnected way of living that includes deeply presencing in your right here, right now, being accountable for how you're impacting the world at every moment, and choosing how the world shows up for you based on how you choose to show up.
Yeah.
And what it means is, people are going to feel your presence before you walk into the room.
Yeah.
What it means is that when someone thinks, we need an expert in XYZ, it's your name that's going to show up and it's your phone that's going to ring. What it means is that your relationships are deep and meaningful and you feel fulfilled. What it means is that you've invested time in things that help you remain grounded so that when life shows up and hits you, you don't just react that often. More you pause, you have a chance to choose. That's what truly showing up looks like. And we can talk about it from a behavioral perspective, as I said, from an intellectual cognitive perspective, from a brain hemisphere perspective, which is probably a really important one. Anyway, I'll pause there. But have I answered your question?
Yeah, you did actually. So my question is, like, if we have that knowing of like where, you know, people can feel us when we show up in a room, how much is fear and overwhelm and those kind of things, how much is that playing in that disconnection and just really holding us back? And what's the price? What is the price of not truly showing up?
I'll tell you the price of not truly showing up. And I'll give it to you from three perspectives. From a day, feeling in bed, you're just exhausted, spent, and it doesn't feel fulfilling. The perspective across a life, you know, there are deathbed wishes that most people have in common, but there's a fourth one that really, that just showed up, yeah. You know, which speaks to the impact of not truly showing up. So the common ones are, I wish I'd worked less. I wish I'd spent more time with the people I care about most. And I wish I had told them more often that I love them. The new one, the fourth deathbed wish that is now a common one, is I wish I had lived more of a life that's true to myself. So what do I mean by that? What people are saying is I wasn't damn authentic. What it means is that I got a job to pay the bills. I did what others thought I was supposed to do because I was seeking some version of I'm okay. Yeah. Some version of yes, you're a successful person in some way. A validation from others, but living in the goop, right? Peter Sage's term, goop, good opinions of others, of other people. I mean, that's crap. No one's ever judging you because all that we can ever do is live in our own mirror. The world shows up for us as we show up to the world, right? Einstein won the Nobel Prize for explaining this is a self-reflective universe. So if you ever feel an opinion from someone else, what you really feel is your assumption of what they're thinking or feeling. You're projecting onto them your own fears, which typically show up in one of four ways, right? I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm lesser than, or you flip it to defend yourself, the male version, I'm better than. I need to be seen as, I need to be seen a certain way. Look, like none of these are authentic lives. Or let's see, I'm lesser than, I'm better than, I deserve, right? Or I need to be seen as. So how does fear play in? Okay, so fear is resonating below courage. Fear is pulling down the world. Fear is making your body sick. Fear is stressing you out. So what the cortisol is doing is it's moving you from your right hemispheric, showing up with love, with joy, seeing the more that's out there, the broad perspective. Being able to feel what you feel right now, Brandon, yeah. Right? Which is resetting me so beautifully. So what fear is doing is it's taking all of that and it's cleaving it off and sending it, you know, off the cliff,
yeah.
And keeping you stuck in literally a very, very narrow mode of perception. So you're seeing this little thing. And what life really is, instead of a flow, what you actually live in is do this. And life, kind of like if you watch a bird move its head and it's like this, that's what life becomes because you're out of the flow. Yeah. You can't actually perceive time. You can't perceive space. Those are right hemispheric things. You definitely can't perceive the more that's out there. How the person right there feels is just absent from your world. Your son or daughter, guess what? They're objects. They aren't, oh my God, you exist. My heart is so emanating and encompassing you. Instead of that, what they are is, pick up your damn socks. We have to go.
We all have those moments, y'all.
You know, and you'll wonder why, you know, they've kind of become closed and don't seem like they want to crawl into your lap, you know, in any form, at any age, whatever that might be. Right? So that's what the fear does. And it's the, and fear is a great word, because fear really encompasses a whole ton of things. It encompasses shame. It encompasses, you know, some version of guilt. And then it encompasses just an inability in any way to truly show up, because it shuts off an entire mode of perceiving, an entire way of attending to the world. It's literally half your brain. It's the right half. And by the way, it's bigger. Like we are designed more to live in this holistic, flowing, heart-led, love-driven way.
Yeah.
Is this resonating at all?
Yes. No, you're definitely speaking to my audience for sure. And I think I do think that connection is so important. And I think about all the seasons of life, and I do want to remind people to give themselves grace for the seasons, because, you know, the season that Marcy and I may be in is really far from the season that you're starting in. And this stuff, this kind of being intentional and this kind of growth, it comes from that messy shit, right? It comes from me freaking out on my kids and realizing, like, well, I'm being really super snappy and that sucks. So who do I really want to show up for them as, right? But it took me being shitty and screwing stuff up my whole life in every area to really hone in on, like, okay, I want to be intentional, right? I was the villain.
Right. Well, here too. And I mean, one of the deep regrets, I have very few regrets in my life, but I will let the world know. There was a day that I spanked my child. I spanked my daughter, and I will never, let's just say, like, tears are coming to my eyes right now. The number of times that I look at her and I say, I did this, and this is so awful. And I like cry with her. I'm like, this is, it's never going to change. Yeah. I wired her brain and her body right then that mom is unpredictable.
Yep.
I can never really let down my guard. Mm-hmm. I can never really count on her to be the calm presence, because for this one moment that she wasn't, and it doesn't matter that I had a lot of people around me saying, sometimes you just have to hit your kids. Like, it doesn't matter what gaslit me into believing whatever. Mm-hmm. And that it was my openness, which is typically a good thing, to like consider and try other things, that led me to this horrible moment, right? Everything's a double-edged sword.
Yep.
Closed-minded, open-mindedness, conviction, curiosity, like everything has a good and bad. Anyway, so we're all the villain, but, you know, the saint is the sinner, right? Who fell down and got up. Like, it's from a song that I heard when I was young, and it just stopped me in my tracks. Is right? You can't learn, right? Unless there's something that kind of stabs you and cuts you and says, stop. Right here. Now, ideally, instead of living like this, it's a more subtle wave. And the way that you get to a more subtle wave, well, one of them anyways, right? You understand the truth about showing up. This continuum, every moment we're bouncing around it. Right? So talk about grace. It's a permission system. You get to wake up feeling like crap. You didn't sleep well. You've got a headache, but your kid needs you. And you're just like, you're starting barely there. And you're like, how do I get into a little ember of green before I greet my child? You're making a decision. You got to have some tools. You got to pause. You got to breathe. You got to write down, what are three things I'm grateful for right now? Like, these are all things that really work, because as you write, you're wiring into the brain a bigger picture. You know, she's not going to be three and, you know, screaming forever, right? She's right. And thank God she's three right now, because I'm going to blink and she's going to be 30.
And that's how it works.
So when you know the truth about showing up, how to switch from a left hemispheric, control driven, power over, teeny focused way of attending to the broad way of attending, that lets you, out of the blue, you walk in there and what comes out of your mouth, like a joke, a little poke, maybe like a little,
yeah.
Right? And now both of you are laughing and you look back and you're like, way to go, mom. Because 10 seconds ago, I was ready to like set the house on fire, you know, right. And look what I just did.
Yeah. No, even with my little girls, we have a thing now when we are kind of heated and I have to be very intentional about like when I leave the office, knowing like I may only have 30 minutes with them and I have to get back here. I am just like kind of blah. So yeah, we have this ridiculous thing. And especially I do that with them when they're fighting, where we're just like, that's it. Cause that's what we're hearing. That's what we're saying. We do that. It shifts the whole energy. We move on to the next thing. It is like just little things, right? Especially with my four oldest, we did dance parties a lot. Stressful. I'm losing my ever loving mind. We're going to just put on some music and let it go. So I think it's important just to like in those moments realize like, yeah, me being pissed off and stressed off, it's a part of life. So how can I channel that to be intentional, the best version of me? But yeah, those mommy mistakes, Marcy, they live with us forever. I have a few that haunt me with my two oldest. Any mistake I can make as a parent, I did it. I really, and it haunts me. Like it is forever going to be something I can't take back. So do I stay there? Do I become a better parent for everybody else and learn from the mistakes and then continue to work on that relationship with my kids to show them, and they've seen the growth, you know, I'm not the same person. They say it a lot. And so, you know, there's the power in that of like, I'm not the reactive crazy mom who was not emotionally aware and emotionally set. And now, I mean, the world could be burning down and I'll be the calmest person in the room. Okay. Unless it's a dog fight, y'all. My dogs and my neighbor's dogs, that's the one thing it's not good for me. But everything else, I mean, it took so much practice for me to not be that reactive person. If we have a listener right now, Marcy, we got someone listening and they're kind of realizing, they're hearing the conversation and they have just felt like emotionally checked out. Where do they start?
First of all, congratulations, listener, that you have recognized, you know, the first step is being aware and feeling that, oh my God, I've been checked out.
Yeah.
The second thing that you want to do is let yourself know that right now you're making a choice to not be checked out. Like, absolutely huge. What I then suggest that people do is make a decision right now. You know, what step are you going to take? Are you going to imbue, you know, a simple activity in each day to just write down what is the most important moment of each day and choose to truly show up for that day and envision what does it look like? When it's walking into a meeting where you're typically afraid that someone's going to judge you and they're going to just look at you like this again and down or whatever it might be, whether it's when you get home at the end of a work day, whether it's the first moment when you greet your partner next to you, a child, what is the moment and what's the vision? Once you have that vision, practice it. Create an image of it. Have chat create an image of who you want to be. What are the most important 10 moments of your average week, let's say? Look at them each night before you go to sleep. So like have photos that each night, instead of scrolling things that agitate you and looking at the latest news or whatever it might be, look at the images of who you are becoming as you look at them. These are your vision of being this type of mother, this type of friend, this type of professional, this type of grounded, great example, great invitation, right, for others. The other thing that I really recommend is understand how showing up truly works. The subheading of the book is Nature's Playbook for Creating a Meaningful Life in the World We Want. And thank you, Mel Robbins, for writing the quote that's on the cover here. There's literally a model of how nature designed humans to show up. We are nature. We're not on the planet. We are of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We are that drop of water, you put a spoon into the ocean and you take out that spoonful of ocean, that's us. We're a unique instance of everything that is. So understand what it means to truly show up, what the three levels are, because the moment you understand it, and you referenced this before, Brandon, once you know the model, you start to notice it. Ah, I see what's going on. And then that is a choice point. So you will just start to live in more choice points each day. So that's what I recommend. First, just choose the most important things, but then kind of understand how it works. And it's simple. There's three levels, there's three roles. You'll get it instantly.
I love that. Where can people find your book? Where can they get resourced with you?
Yeah, I mean, what people are probably doing most readily is going to Amazon. So the book's on Amazon, How We Choose to Show Up, Marcy Axelrod. My website, How We Choose, is choosetoshowup.com. I love hearing from people. There's a little contact page, so be in touch with me. What I want to know is what resonated, what didn't, what do you have questions on, what confused you? I'm always just trying to help people
Own the
understand,
message.
you're not an individualized self. You're a relational being. Therefore, you're accountable for how you show up because you're creating the world right here, right now, in
Right
every
now.
moment.
I love that. Marcy, this is the part of the show that I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just the research. I mean, you're clearly intelligent. It's that you're helping people notice how they're living and you're bringing awareness to something invisible. And it's the difference between existing and actually being present. You are helping people reconnect to themselves and to others, to the life they're already living, helping them get into their potential. And that's definitely my passion. So I honor and respect your work. I love this. This matters. I think it makes you incredibly special, the vision that you've had. To everyone listening, pay attention to how you're showing up. Not someday, not when life slows down, because I promise you it doesn't. Okay, that when things calm down is a big lie. Do it now because your relationships feel it. Your kids feel it. Like Marcy said, your body feels it. And deep down, I feel like you know you feel it too. You know, God didn't create you to drift through your own life disconnected. He created you to be fully present in it, to be aware, to be intentional, and it makes you magnetic. Please, you guys. Remember that your mess is your message. Even the seasons when you have checked out mentally, even the moments that you stopped paying attention, even the disconnection, that is where the awareness really begins. And if this episode spoke to you, Marcy and I need you to do us a huge favor. And it's a very selfless act of sharing this out with other people because there's someone that needs the show that we don't have access to, and we can't get to them without your help. So please share that with them and leave the reviews. Okay, stars are super cute, but words are going to be what gets me up in the algorithm. Okay, make sure you guys get resourced with Marcy, get her book. Again, she answers her own messages, you guys. So, if, you know, give her the feedback. Ask
Yeah.
the questions, do the things. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, then it's your turn to come tell me why you're special. Marcy, I knew this was going to be a great conversation and you did not disappoint. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness, Brandon, the honor is all mine.
Thank you.